and welcome to pod 27 of the official Palace pod. I'm Chris Grierson from Palace TV, which you can watch on the Palace app, YouTube, eagles.cpfc.co.uk and all of our social media sites. I am recording the podcast this week from the meeting room at the training ground. This will be where the players will come during the week to have a little meeting with the manager and the coaching staff about everything that's going to go on the game, what they've got to look out for with the opponents. They'll also have a meeting in here at the start of the week to look back on the game that has just gone. It was built last summer, so it's brand spanking new. It's in the canteen area. There's a glass wall around it with frosted glass and the Palace Eagles badge on it. And then there's a giant screen. I think it's about 90 inches. It's a touch screen as well. So it can be used like on Monday Night Football to do presentations in that way. And then next to it on the wall is old school, still there, a whiteboard with the football pitch markings laid out and little magnetic counters on it so they can look at formations on that as well. It's got a lovely view out to the training ground pitch where I'm looking now. I can see that the far pitch has already been dug up. Looking ahead to next season, that's the one that the under-23s use. It looks like they've already dug that up to reseed it and relay it. But thinking about it, we should probably do a feature on it soon with one of the groundsmen. So we'll try and catch up with one of them soon. But back to the podcast. What have we got on this week's pod? We've obviously got Roy Hodgson's weekly press conference. We've got Statman over at Sellers Park. We've got Martin Kelly talking to TalkSport. But before all that, the main man, Wilfried Zaha, spoke to Premier League Productions this week. And it was a really good interview.
Wilf, I suppose one more win will absolutely confirm safety, but what does it mean to get to this point, 39 points, and pretty much safe at this stage with five games left?
It's massive. Obviously, it gives us the breathing space now and can play with freedom, and obviously we want to get high up in the league, so it'll be nice to get more wins.
You say playing with freedom. Will that help you against Manchester City on Sunday?
Yeah, definitely, because obviously, knowing that we've managed to secure safety going into that game, it takes a bit of the pressure off. So yeah, hopefully you can play with freedom and have a good game.
You must feel like a lot of progress has been made this season.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I feel like with the team we have, we shouldn't even have been around the whole battling relegation thing. But it's a thing where we just have to look forward. And obviously, like I said, try and get the most points we can get, really.
Why do you think you have, I don't want to say struggle, because you haven't struggled, because it's difficult in the Premier League, but not being higher in the table, do you think?
I don't know, because we literally have ups and downs, and it's like we'll have a massive win, and then the next game we'll lose, and I don't know. I don't know if it's complacency, or I don't know what it is, but we haven't been as consistent as we should have been. And I don't know what it's down to, really, but All I can really focus on is the next game, really.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that's important right now.
Roy Hodgson has recently become the oldest manager in the Premier League. Just how good has he been for this football club?
He's been massive. Obviously, he's got so much experience. He's been there, done that. And I don't think he's been relegated before, so that helps to know that. So, yeah, he's come here and given his time, and he's proper hands-on, which makes a massive difference. He's the manager that will put an arm around you and be straightforward about how he feels. So it makes a massive difference to the players, and it's helped us all massively. And as you can see, we're progressing slowly and better.
What about your own form, Wilf? Everyone loves watching you play, whether reporters or fans. How do you feel you've done?
I feel like, to be honest, I set myself a goal, to be honest, at least from the beginning of the season, to get at least 10 goals. And obviously, I was so annoyed with myself. Like, the Huddersfield game, I had two chances, like two one-on-ones, and I just snuffed them. But I feel like I can still get my 10 goals. But you know, all in all, I'm happy with my season. But I feel like, from a personal aspect, I feel like I could have done a little bit better. But that's just me being hard on myself.
It was exactly a year ago that I sat with you. It was outside, actually, in the sunshine, and you said you needed to improve your decision making. Have you done that, do you think?
I feel like it's improving slowly. Like, bit by bit, I'm learning my trade. I'm learning what I'm good at, learning what I'm bad at, learning what I need to improve. And I feel like every season, over the last three seasons, I've made a massive improvement. And definitely, I'm learning when to run with it, when not to run with it, when to pass it. And I feel like the last thing I need to add is when to shoot, because I don't feel like I shoot enough. So yeah, that's the last piece of the puzzle I need to add.
I suppose it's difficult for you though, isn't it? Because defenders are attracted to you because you're obviously the key player.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'll get in good positions and not shoot because I'm just, I don't know what it is in my head. But yeah, that's the final thing that I just need to add. Once I get that tiny bit of space, just get my shot off.
Is this the right place then for you to develop your game with the manager and the environment you're in here?
Well, I'm at Crystal Palace. All I can do is focus on my football, and I'm enjoying my football right now. So, and over the last couple of years, I'm developing. So, I don't see why not.
A lot of good things at Palace this season. 11 clean sheets so far. That's really good, isn't it?
Yeah, that is good, to be honest, because I feel like the amount of goals you concede do add up as well. So. That's something the defenders need to be proud about, cause, and as a team really, because I feel like we defend as a team as well. So yeah, that's something good that we need to look at.
Yeah, you've got a lot of runners in the team, haven't you? So you can defend from the front. You guys can come back and.
Yeah, that's part of our game really. It all starts from the front, because it's all about setting a trap really, luring the team into a place where they think they're comfortable, and then obviously we just all jump forward and try and win the ball back and defend as a team, and that's been our strategy for the season.
Got to ask you about Luka Milivojevic. Is he the most reliable penalty taker you've ever come across?
Oh my days. I get asked, do you know how often I get asked, why do you take penalties? And it's just like, how do I tell the guy that scores every single one I'm going to take this one? So yeah, I've got no chance in saying anything, and it's just like, fair enough, like, mate, I'll just get kicked, and you just take the penalties, really. So yeah, I can't tell him nothing. He's Mr. Reliable. I don't know how he does it, but yeah, he's helped us massively.
Is anybody else allowed to practice penalties in training, or is it just him?
No. Yeah. Well, to be honest, he's earned the right to take every single penalty, really. Like, I'm practicing, but I'm nowhere near as you can practice, but there's being as cool as he is, because some of the penalties he's taken. The whole team is depending on him to score that goal. So it's like, I don't know if I've got ice in my veins to be able to take that penalty. And do you know when you have the fans, the opposition fans behind the goal? Yeah, I can't do it, man. So yeah, I give that burden to him, man.
No, he's a great player, VTF. Christian Benteke, he's not scored for a while. Is his form going to come back? Do you think it's coming?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I have absolute faith in Christian, and he's got confidence in himself as well. And from training, you can see the sharpness, and he's determined to get back to Christian, who scores a lot of goals, and he will. And from the games he's come on recently, he's made a massive impact. So you can see the determination when he comes on. It's not like he's totally given up, which is nice to see. As my friend, it's hard to see him going through a period where he's lacking in confidence and stuff, but I know he's a great player, so... It'll come back fine soon enough.
He's a good guy as well. Manchester City, how do you feel about facing them? Is it the ultimate test in the Premier League? And how do you feel about playing against them?
It's obviously a big game, but I feel like every game is a big game. Yeah. To me personally, I prepare the same way. I don't think less of anyone else, because it's just like there's no easy game in the Premier League. So we need to be at it 100% for us to even have a chance on Sunday, really. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Should be a good game.
Do you think about how you can affect the title race at all? Is it all the focus on you? I suppose it's hard not to look at what's going on at the top.
No, obviously I see what's going on, but that doesn't affect me or my team at all. So we just see what we can do and how that will help us. The title race has nothing to do with us, so we're just focusing on ourselves. And obviously, if we can get a win, that just boosts us up in the league. That's it, really.
How much admiration have you got for Raheem Sterling?
I've known he's been an incredible player for years, but obviously he's flourished into, I can say, world class at times. like his runs, his dribbling, his finishing. So full credit to him, because I've thought he's an amazing player from before, but now obviously Guardiola has transformed him massively.
Let's take you back to the 3-2 win, the Townsend goal, one of the most memorable moments in your time at Palace, I imagine.
But yeah, probably. I don't think I've seen anyone score a goal like that ever. Apart from, I think when I Ibrahimovic, when we played against him, and he did the back. Yeah, that's those are the only two goals I've ever seen that are crazy like that.
Can you beat them again on Sunday?
Can we beat them?
Yeah.
I can't tell the future, I don't know, but we will do our best and do what we're good at and hope for the best result.
Because you'll know that a lot of people's title charge has derailed at Selhurst Park. Liverpool's did when Suarez scored, City's did the year after, so yeah. It could be again.
Yeah, it could be, obviously, but it's nice to know we're messing up people's plans. But yeah, we're just going to do what we're good at and just try to focus and just get a win again, really. That's what we're going for.
See, told you it was good. So from attack to defence, and Martin Kelly has played quite a few games recently. Looks like he's going to have a nice long run in the side now, with Tomkins and Sacco both out until the end of the season. He sat down with Ian Abrahams, aka The Moose, from TalkSport.
Away from home, you've been brilliant, getting win after win after win, and yet home is pretty more difficult this season. Is there one reason why?
I don't think there's any reason for that. I think we've been unlucky at times at home. We played just as good football at Selhurst as we have away from home. I think we've got some great away wins, and that's credit to us travelling as a squad, you know, doing everything right in the build up to the games, and hopefully we can, you know, you'd like to turn that home form around with the atmosphere we have every Saturday, but we know that each game is really difficult.
You played really well against the top six at home this year. I mean, I was there for the Liverpool game right at the start of the season, drew with Arsenal, Chelsea. Does that give you confidence going into City this weekend?
I think that, you know, the top teams, when you play them, you have to go in with a massive respect for them teams, and understand that they will have all the ball, even if you're playing at home. Sometimes against them top teams, it's tough, and when you do regain the ball, you've got to use it well. But we do, you know, we do the same sort of stuff week in, week out with the manager, in terms of working on our gameplay and what we want to do in with our game plan on a Saturday, and it'll be no different against City on Saturday. You know, we'll work on our game plan and take that into the game at Selhurst.
You mentioned possession. I think I can't remember so many games in a season whereby the team that has less possession wins the game. It doesn't seem like you need to have the ball for even half the time in a football match anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's where you keep the ball and how many chances you create at the end of the day, isn't it? If you just keep the ball in your own half for most of the game and not get behind defenders and create chances, then 9 times out of 10 you're not going to win the game, are you? So we've got really good attacking force in our team that when we do get chances, you know, something usually comes of it. The keeper's making a save, or we're getting at least a corner. You see him with Wolf at the minute, he's getting penalties because of how good he is in the box. So it's tough for the opposition, and I don't think we mind not having majority of possession in games. I think you just got to use the ball to your advantage when you get on the pitch.
Now, of course, you've had a solid season, relegation fears gone, and you can complete a very special double. I mean, not many teams have won at the Etihad, not many teams will win at the Etihad. This season, thanks to your victory up there, something could be very special.
Yeah, I think the game at the Etihad was a fantastic game for the players and the club on a whole. It sort of put us on the map at that start of the season. So it was great to have a victory up there, and we got, you know, massive confidence, as you will do, from that game. So I think going into the game at home, we understand that, you know, how good City are, and along with all the other top sides in the Premier League, it's going to be it's going to be really tough, and we look forward to that challenge as we do play in such a good league.
Was Aaron Ross's goal of the season, and has he stopped talking about it yet?
Yeah, we got a little bit off him after the game for a good couple of weeks, which is fair play to him. He scored a wonder goal, hasn't he? It's not like that every day in training, let me tell you that. But it was a great strike, and he deserves definitely our goal of the season, for sure.
Now, last season you were part of the team that drew 0-0 with City at home, and Luca misses very few penalties, so I'm certainly not going to have a go at him when Edison saved it. But I mean, it shows you that you can beat them at home. I mean, you were mighty close last season.
Yeah, well, you only have to listen to when Pep talks about coming to Selhurst. It's a smaller pitch than what they're used to, definitely up at the Etihad. We understand all their players were watching them so much. We analyse their players because they're world-class players. Maybe they're not looking at our players as much as we do as them. They're on the world stage week in, week out. International football, you're seeing their players playing them games, so it's good to see your opponent know so much about them and pay them the respect that they deserve. We understand it'll be a really difficult game, probably our difficultest at home this season, but I think you look at our squad now, how we're feeling at the minute, we're right up for the challenge.
A couple more. I mean, first of all, is it a good time to play them? I mean, they lost on Tuesday at Spurs. They've got a return coming this week in the Champions League. I mean, is there a feeling that maybe this is a good time, because they won't really know, or they may not know what to do in terms of, do they go full out Sunday and then they've got this game coming up against Spurs so quickly afterwards?
I think when you look at Man City's squad, how good it is, strength and depth they've got, it's whatever team they field is going to be just as hard a game for us at Selhurst, but we know that them sort of games rile our fans up, and they love making a racket in these top games, so it's going to be amazing playing in front of them and giving our all to try and get the fans what they want coming to Selhurst on a Saturday and a Sunday. They want us to play good football, create chances, and for it to be an exciting game for them.
And finally, it might be the most silly question, but with your Liverpool connections, who's going to win the title? I mean, we're down to the last five or six games of the season. There's little to choose between the two. You could help your old team on Sunday, but who do you think will win the title?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to work out that it's going to go right down to the wire, does it? Both teams look like they can win, their games, what they've got left. So it's getting to that stage now where you'd think that whoever does slip up, it might, cost them, considerably the points that they need. So, I mean, it's great for the Premier League. Every neutral out there watching this league, looking at this year, it's been, for me the best title race I've seen since growing up. So, I hope it does go to the wire, and the best team will come out victorious.
Of course, just the anniversary of 4 years ago, I think, when Stephen slipped up and Chelsea won at Anfield, and that cost Liverpool. You're right. I mean, one moment of one game could decide the title.
I think they're world class elite players, so they understand each game for them is must. It's must wins. I was at Liverpool, and every game you're meant to win. So being at a team like that, the pressure comes for them. Trying to win each game, and we're the same here. Palace, we go into each game trying to work on our game plan and being successful in that game.
Martin Ronald Kelly there. Now moving to a non-footballer, all he knows about is stats, and this time we're doing it from a special chair at Selhurst Park Stadium.
I'm the stat man.
Yeah, that's right. We are on the throne, the Selhurst Park throne today. Well, I am. Hello, Statman. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, so we are in the press room here. and it is absolutely majestic. Chris straight away has taken the manager's seat. He didn't ask any questions, just plonked himself down. This is where I'm going to be, and I'm just meant to assume my role here as his right-hand man.
It's very comfortable. Well, when you're on first-name terms with the managers, you can come back and sit in the seat.
Just to fill in, so this is the place where all... We always do a post-match interview here, don't we?
Post-match press conference.
Conference, where all both the managers. Local journalists can ask questions.
The world's journalists. The world's media.
Journalists, yeah. Always ask them. And I guess major, like, signings and managers are unveiled here. And I imagine in 2014, Chris Grierson was unveiled at
now,
this...
You're embellishing very... now. You're doing that thing you do when you show your guests around the stadium. You're just making up stories. We don't unveil players in the media centre at Selhurst Park.
We do. No, I mean, I've said that on every tour.
You don't. The manager does a post-match press conference in here.
Surely Ben Tackett.
And all the press sit here and eat.
Yeah.
Before the game for free.
I just love this place. We should be doing that.
Yeah, keep telling the stories, though. Yeah. It makes it sound better. Yeah.
You've just got to say it with conviction and confidence. Why don't you believe anything?
Say it into Roy's microphone. Yeah.
So here we are at the press conference facilities here at Selhurst Park Stadium. We unveiled players here.
Yeah, that's just a lie. Turn the mic off.
It's a complete lie. Yeah. We've never unveiled one player here.
Never unveiled a player in here.
But Chris Grierson was unveiled here.
Was not unveiled here. No.
How were you unveiled?
On the pitch at half-time.
Oh! Were you really?
Yeah.
What a way.
Mark Bright.
Did you come out the tunnel?
No, we went on the pitch at half-time. Mark Bright announced the winner of the... People say competition, I say job interview process. Yeah, and unfortunately, because the sound system was the old sound system, no one really had a clue what was going on.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
It's not particularly strong, no. I love that we've talked about this probably five or six times throughout the
boring,
season.
Let's talk about you. How did you get the job?
That's actually a cracking story. I was in the Amazon rainforest and I was...
okay.
Sorry, no, actually, do you know what? We haven't got time for this. No, I genuinely was. And I came back, it was here, I came back for a job interview with Arsenal and I thought, I've got to go for this one. I was on a sabbatical, flew back and I was in the final three and I thought, I've just got, you're not going to get this over Skype or over phone. I've got to be there in person. So flew all the way, 3,500 miles. Went straight to the Emirates thinking, this is me. It's a bit of me. I've made it here. Top, you know, Arsenal, big old club. This is my move. I was at Nottingham Forest at the time. Thought, finally, Prem. Didn't get the job. But met my boss whilst I was over here. Job became available at Palace. Met him in the short time frame I was back for, about 5 days. Bada bing, bada bong.
Back to the Amazon.
And then I'm on the pod. Back to the Amazon.
Yeah.
Back to the Amazon, yeah.
So, look at you. You've got a less scrappy bit of paper today.
Less scrappy. You could even call it a Microsoft Word document.
Yeah, it looks very nice. Very impressed. Yeah.
Would you like to be impressed then?
Yeah, I mean...
And just, sorry, upon me. Before, I'm just sorry.
I thought you might get this out.
Chris is laughing because he has sent me the most seductive text I've ever received in the workplace. Now, Chris, can you... I'll put this in quotation marks. This is Chris Grierson at 11:39 this morning. We're on Friday the 12th of April. Chris Grierson, I'm up in the media centre. Let's do it on Roy's desk. Ready to go whenever you like.
Do you get excited?
Do you know what I did? I panicked and I nearly deleted it. I thought, what if my fiance sees that on the phone?
Played it cool though, you waited half an hour.
Yeah.
Jesus, I've been on this desk waiting for you.
On the throne. I know, mate, it's what I do, mate. Keep a mean treating him. Treating me.
Right, what are you here for?
Right, I'm here for the big one, for Man City. Let's dive into it. And do you know what? Let's get carried away.
Oh.
Let's get carried away. Yeah. And then
let's get carried away on Roy's desk.
Let's do it. So, everyone knows, obviously, that unbelievable 3-2 win, which Chris Grierson did predict, might I ask, on the podcast, episode 15. We are now looking for a double over Man City. Mm. Highly unlikely, yes. But what if? What if? If we got the double, it would be our first top flight double over City since 1972-73.
Okay.
Deep inhale of breath from Chris Grierson.
You were going to ask me some question.
Oh, there's a question coming.
Okay.
There's a question. You better be prepared.
Yeah.
Also, Man City, then they don't get beaten twice in one season by one club. Certainly not a club outside the top six. The last team to do it outside the top six to get the double over City was in 2010-11, and that was Everton. Too hard a question. I wasn't going to ask you Everton. But when's the last time we got a double over a top six team in one season? I'm going to give you the season.
Yep.
The season, it's a fine one. It's season 2014-15.
Oh, okay.
And we beat this team.
My first season at the club.
Oh, here we go. Right. So you would have been at these games. I'm sure. You would have been keen back then doing...
Well, I'll do home and away. We didn't do away.
Okay.
Top six side.
Top six side. We got the double over them. I'll give you the score if you want a clue, but I'd be more impressive if you get it without.
I'm just thinking of the top six sides. It definitely wasn't Arsenal. Definitely wasn't Man United. Mm. Definitely wasn't City, because we haven't done that since 1972-73.
Thank you very much.
We definitely beat Spurs under Pardew at home. But away was 0-0. That's when Bolasie did the 360 flick. Mm. So it's not Spurs.
No. We're getting there.
Chelsea?
No.
We didn't do.
Oh, don't you? That was it.
Remember that, because that was the one where Delaney got sent off and Fabregas got sent off in a home game.
Nodding.
So, of course, the Liverpool. So the first game was the 3-1 with
here
the...
Was it
3-1?
3-1.
Jedinak free kick.
Correct.
Was in it.
Yeah.
And then the second one at the end of that season would have been... Was it Gerrard's farewell game at Anfield?
And the score again?
Was 3-1.
Well done, that man.
Take a sip from a soy latte.
He's earned it. What a man. Yes, Liverpool. And that's actually our only ever double against a top six team since the Premier League began. So can we do it again? Last positive one then.
Yes.
Last positive one. City haven't beaten us in the last two attempts either now. Obviously the 3-2 defeat they incurred at in December, and that 0-0 draw we got here on New Year's Eve.
When Luka actually missed a penalty.
One of his only two Premier League penalty misses, I know. So that was the opportunity for us. So that's the positives. We could end it there and just all go away smiling and, 9 foot tall. But let's get back to reality here. This is City. They've won 5 of the last 7 against us. So apart from those last two that we won against them, 5 in a row before that. They're in amazing form in the Prem. They've won 8 in a row. And rather worryingly, they've kept 6 clean sheets out of the last 7. And when you couple that with our games that we haven't scored at home, 44% of games at home we haven't scored at. So if you couple that with their amazing clean sheet record, and that we've only won 4 at home all season, it all points towards one thing, doesn't it? It's starting to point that way. But before you get carried away and go...
They're horrible stats, aren't they? Imagine being the guy that has to do a half-time challenge, a fun half-time challenge with kids.
Yeah, no one wants to be that guy, do they? Not for this one.
No.
You've got to have some good material for that, really, to pick it up.
I just can't be bothered. Of course I will, yeah.
Good. Good. Well, let's just, before you get too negative and be like, do you know what? Because I know you play this. You love your fancy Premier League, don't you?
No. I gave up after a few weeks.
Okay, but you're in the league.
I started it.
Okay.
I'm bottom.
Right. You're bottom, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't looked at it this year.
That's fine. But before listeners get carried away and think, do you know what? I'll change my team. I'll put Aguero in, captain. Man City are going to thrash him. Well, are they? Is Aguero going to score in particular? He hasn't scored in his last 5 games at Selhurst. So that's something I'm clinging on to.
I mean, you don't know who's going to play because they're in between Spurs games, aren't they? Champions League.
Exactly. We've got 3 out of 4 games against Spurs. So, exactly. Who are they going to play? But do you know what? Yeah, Aguero playing might not be the worst thing of all. At least the stats say that. Let's talk penalties as well. Been a lot of hype about this, but I just want to reinforce this one. Luka, after our very negative Newcastle pod, where I think there was a disclaimer put in at the start as well, to say don't listen to these if you're on your way there. Got our first win since 1998. Yeah. I saw you use my stat.
I did use your stat. It's very handy. Very handy.
Yeah. That's what you've been using for.
I think the last time Palace won, Lombardo and Jansen got the goals.
Who got the goal for Newcastle?
Patrick Kluivert?
No, should have just gone Shearer. It was Shearer. Anyway, like that you used that. Let's talk penalties.
Idiots.
Lucas slotted it away. It was his 10th penalty goal this season, and he's now one off equaling the record. He's nodding because he knows this, doesn't he? One off equaling the record in the Premier League for the most penalty goals in one season, which is held by...
Andrew Johnson.
In which season?
The 2004-05 season.
Well done. Do you know what we should have?
Do you know it's Andrew, not Andy? Yeah. It's Andrew or AJ.
Yeah, and I like Andy though.
Yeah.
But you're right, he really doesn't like it. I called him that the first game I was here, and he did correct me.
Yeah.
Like Andrew Cole.
Yeah.
We just want to call them Andy, don't we? It's like we're on mates, right? We're on mates' terms with him. But exactly.
Funny you mentioned that because someone on Twitter said, well, we should have a shootout between Luka Milivojevic and AJ.
Oh.
Yeah, at the training ground. I said, that sounds like a very good idea. They tagged Andrew into the tweet.
Yeah.
So I sent him a text and he came back with 1,000,000%. And then on Twitter he said, I'm all over this. And Jules is up for it as well, going in goal for some of the penalties. So hopefully, sometime near the end of the season, we'll get Luka and Andrew Johnson taking penalties against each other.
What a scoop that is.
Yeah, and thanks to the person on Twitter that suggested it.
That will be fantastic. That'll be the best thing you've done, Chris.
Yeah.
You know, in setting that up, I look forward to that. Did you say, will we do that at the training ground?
Yeah, we're going to do it at the training ground, yeah.
Okay, half-time be a bit much. Lucas got a place. Go for the captain for a bit. Yeah, that'll be amazing, mate. Well, look forward to that. Let's hope Luca gets that record anyway. Still got a few games. He's two goals to get the record outright.
Just going to double check we're still recording. Yeah, we are.
We're still
recording. Blimey, 11 minutes.
Jesus, yeah.
Although last week we were very self-indulgent and no one said I didn't get a peep of complaint from anyone.
Do we not?
No.
But that's because we get no feedback. Or it's just the email's blocked or something. It's just not... No one's picking up anything, are they? You put me on first that time.
I did. Congratulations.
Are we back down to where we belong?
Yeah, we've got some good stuff on this week.
I knew it was a desperate week when you said I was on first. He said, we want something entertaining. I thought, what is the rest of the show then?
We are scrabbling around this week because we've spent a lot of time preparing videos for the awards night and archive stuff as well. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, we've been putting a lot of goals of old games out.
I've seen it.
No big feature this week. So it does get to Friday sometimes and you're like...
I better grab that bloke stat man and try and spin this out for 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, do you know what? I can't spin much longer.
I'm loving this. I'd just like to explain to everyone that there's no longer a scrappy bit of paper. This is...
Yeah, premium.
I mean, it's headed with Statman's real name at the top.
Yeah.
And then different sections. Carried away, 2 question marks.
Yeah.
Next section, back to reality.
Yeah.
Next section, how's their Premier League form?
Yeah.
Next section, fancy football team, in brackets, all those negative Palace fans.
Yes. I mean, you're just going through everything.
And then penalties.
This is really trying to...
One off equaling the record. Then your final section is called...
I mean, he's reading out. Do you want to...
Overall.
Yeah. Do you want to just deliver this? I mean, there's no point. Should I just type this for you next time?
Give me your overall.
Right. So, let's summarise then. So, I mean, let's be honest. We're going to expect a reaction, aren't we, from City's Champions League defeat v Spurs midweek. I think that's got to be taken into the equation. And this is City we're talking about. So, seem to score at will and their amazing Premier League form. Coupled with the fact we don't score many or win many at home, seems to all point towards a Manchester City win. But this is Palace, and we've got one positive stat to leave you with, which I managed to dig out from somewhere. The last time we got back-to-back Premier League wins was in December of this season, 1-0 win over Leicester, and that 3-2 win away at City. So,
I looked this up and saw that we hadn't won back-to-back Premier League games this season.
No, we did.
Oh, OK, I missed
that.
Yeah.
Well, you should have come to me, mate.
I should have done.
So, I was just about to build up to the crescendo but you cut me right off. How much time do we need to fill here, mate?
I can get them to edit it.
We both know that is not happening.
Okay, go on, carry on.
Right, last time we won, got the double, 1-0 win over Leicester and a 3-2 win away at City, beat Newcastle away next season, last game, got City at home this game coming up. Can Lightning strike twice?
Written in red pen, capital letters. Yeah, I think it can.
Yeah,
I'm going to look back at the fixtures. I do believe you.
Yeah,
but why did I miss that when I was looking through? I was thinking, oh, we haven't won a two in a row this season, haven't we?
God, I hope he's right. Correct. Phew.
Of course he's right.
That was a Dan Blundell stat, that one.
That's really good. Yeah. Oh, I dug this up from somewhere.
Yeah, from Dan. That's still somewhere.
Very good. Okay, exciting times.
Yeah, absolutely exciting, yeah.
You're very good.
Thank you.
Right,
thank
I've you. Got to go now, and do you want to, as an outro, do you want to explain where I'm going to now?
Well, it'd help if
what's
I,
coming
if
up
I knew.
Next? Have a guess.
I've no idea what's coming up.
Have a guess. Like, what could I be doing on a Friday that will be on the pod?
Chris,
that's off.
Chris Grierson is going to the press conference pre-match versus Manchester City. Here are the answers from Roy Hodgson.
Roy, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Can we start with some team news, please?
Yeah, nothing's changed particularly. Obviously, we lost James Tomkins in the game against Newcastle. He's been operated. So he's going to miss the rest of the season, which is a major blow, coming on top of course Mamadou Sakho's injury 5 or 6 games ago, because those two have been such important pillars in the centre of our defence and have helped us get where we are. So it's a big ask now for Martin Kelly and Scott Dan. They're going to have to really step in some quite big shoes, but I'm confident they can do that and they'll get their first chance on Sunday.
Because your defensive record this season has been very good. You're up to 11 clean sheets now. Can you do it again on Sunday against Manchester City, do you think?
Well, we can. Of course you can. I mean, no team is unbeatable and no team poses, if you like, a threat that you couldn't possibly deal with. But everyone understands what a good side they are and what a wonderful season they're having. And we know all about their attacking talents, of which there are many, and they are one of the best teams, in my opinion, in and around the penalty area. So it's going to be a task and a big ask for the players, but we'll be ready for it and we'll do our best. We kept a clean sheet against them a year ago here, so why can't we do it again?
How do you feel about City's form at the moment? 8 straight Premier League wins, but you have seen their performance at Spurs in the week. How do you see this game going and their form?
Well, I thought it was a good performance in the week against Spurs. I don't know what Pep said about it, but I thought it was a good performance from both teams. It was quite a proud moment when you're in the Premier League and you realise that, you know, this is the level of football that you're involved in yourself with your team. Maybe not quite at the heights they're reaching, but you're in the same ballpark and you see that level of football from both teams, which I thought was excellent. So I would be surprised if Pep wasn't more than satisfied with his team's performance, but you can't just judge performances on the fact that they didn't win the game. And I'm pretty certain that that defeat won't have any great effect upon their performance against us on Sunday. They'll be back to those 8 wins on the spin, trying to make it 9.
Let's take you back in the season. One of your highlights as the Crystal Palace manager was the 3-2 win at City. How were you able to do that? Get that win that day, do you think?
A lot of hard work. You know, I thought the players were unbelievably disciplined. I thought they worked very, very hard to try and fulfil, if you like, some of the tactical thoughts we had going into the game, which might make life that bit harder for Man City to break us down. That went very, very well. And, of course, on top of that, we were able to use the relatively few chances we got ourselves on the counter-attack to score 3 goals, and one of which, of course, was a wonder goal that you can't expect Andros or anyone else to score every day of the week. But it was a great occasion, and it was a great victory for the club and for the players. We're very proud of it. Just hope we haven't angered them too much so they come here tomorrow trying to make us pay for having the temerity to win a game up on their own patch.
Has Andros mentioned his goal this week? Have you talked about it in training?
No, I've not given him the chance.
Only 4 home wins this season. Why do you think that is?
Well, a number of factors. I mean, you have to go back through virtually every game and analyse the game. A lot of it has been the fact that we've suffered what we consider to be fairly harsh defeats, given the way the game has panned out on a lot of those occasions. You know, if it was a boxing match, we wouldn't have lost. But it's not a boxing match. It's a question of, are you missing your goal chances, and are the opponents perhaps taking 1 or 2 of their relatively few ones? And as a result, the final result is that you lose the game. But we've played some good games at home this year. There's no doubt about that. We've given us, you know, good value, I think, in terms of our performances. But of course, the statistics are, you know, very clear. The facts are very clear, and that is that we have won more games away from home than we've won at home. But there's three home games left, albeit against Man City, Everton, and Bournemouth. Not exactly easy ones, but we have a chance to get a win or two before the season ends.
How satisfying has it been to you for you to get to 39 points? Do you feel you're safe, like you said last week?
Yes, I think so. I mean, it's a dangerous thing to say, I suppose, in the sense that, you know, until it's mathematically 100% certain. But you can't sit on that fence forever. I mean, basically, I think the teams below us would have an awful lot to do if they're going to relegate us to one of those three positions. So I'm confident that, you know, we've broken the back of our task and that we won't go down this year, and we'll try and spend the next five games trying to get as high up the table as we possibly can, because the players show no signs of complacency. They show no signs of a lack of desire. I've mentioned the two centre-backs, Martin Kelly and Scott Dann, have had very few appearances. They've had appearances replacing the other two for injuries. You know, Mamadou Sakho and Tompkins, they virtually missed no games for up to, you know, five, six games ago. So they're going to be really up for the challenges, as it were. And we've got a bit of competition up front as well. Christian Benteke is coming back into something like his normal form. So who knows? But the important thing for us was we had a clear task at the start of the season. You know, we've got to make certain we stay in this league again. And it's nice, with five games to go, that we can probably say we've done that. And let's see what we can add to it.
Just finally, Roy, Luka Milivojevic, is he the most reliable penalty taker you've ever come across?
Yeah, very good. I mean, I had another one in Danny Murphy at Fulham. I don't actually remember Danny missing penalties either, so I've been pretty lucky. I don't know if we got as many penalties at Fulham, because we were a passing team more than a dribbling team. You know, Crystal Palace are very much a dribbling team. We have players who dribble the ball in the box very skillfully, and, you know, if you dribble people in the box, you get fouled from time to time. But we had plenty of penalties at Fulham, and Danny never missed them. But Luke has been exceptional in these 2 years, and it's good for us, as I say, because we're the type of team that gets penalties, because we have the type of play that provokes fouls in the penalty area.
I don't know if you need to leave.
Yes, thanks very much. Roy, just very quickly, bearing in mind you almost beat Manchester City last season, you performed well against them this season. Do you think some, not secret formula, but some way of working out how to try and get a result against them?
Well, it's like anything else. The only way you're ever going to get a result against them is, first of all, if your defence is in unbelievable form and players are prepared to work harder than they perhaps ever worked on the field before, because, you know, we know that the opponents don't have weaknesses, and what's more, we know how hard they work and how athletic they are. And then, of course, I think the major formula, if you like, for getting a positive result, winning the game, has got to be that you know that you're not going to have the ball as much as they are, you know that you're not getting as many chances to score as they will have. But you've got to make certain that when your chance comes along, you take it, which is pretty much what happened at Man City. You know, I talked about a lot of our home games where I think we've had the bulk of the play, we've had more chances to score than the opposition, but unfortunately, we've ended up not taking ours and they've taken theirs. That was pretty much the case at Man City. I can't come off there saying, well, we beat Man City 3-2 because we outplayed them from start to finish. They had the ball for the best part of the time, and they had more opportunities to score than we had. But luckily, we defended well enough to stop them scoring, and we took our own chances. And it will be no different at Selhurst Park tomorrow, because much as though I like playing at home with the atmosphere and the support we get from our crowd, it doesn't alter the fact that we are playing a team that most people regard as one of the very best teams in Europe, not purely one of the best teams in the Premier League.
Injury update wise, you're without Tompkins. Any other concerns going into the game?
No, not really. I mean, one or two minor little things. I think Pub's why he felt his thigh this morning, but I think that was just precaution. No, basically it's those two, the two centre backs, and that's not just any people to leave out of your team, because you know, we are relatively safe, if not safe, after only 33 games this year, which is early, if you like, for us, and a lot of that is down to the fact that our two centre backs have been quite outstanding.
Thank you.
Roy, good afternoon.
Pete.
If we look at the result at Manchester City, was it significant for yourself, the team, the club even, that Crystal Palace are not a team you should take lightly? That that on that day you wouldn't have been favourites to win that game, and that the whole of the Premier League was quite shocked by what happened?
Well, that's the way the Premier League is, isn't it? And that will... If Huddersfield go and beat Tottenham tomorrow, the Premier League will be shocked again. And that's what the Premier League is. You know, we do have a group of clubs at the top, you know, who are dominating the league and fighting their own little battle, really, to see who's going to be champion and who's going to be in the top four. And so that means that, not for every team underneath them, but for a lot of the teams underneath them, when you play them, you go in as underdogs, and you know you'll get lots of pats on the back if you end up getting a positive result. So Manchester's been good to us this year. We drew 0-0 at United, and then we beat Man City. So our trips to Manchester have been good this year. But unfortunately, that doesn't mean to say they'll be good next year.
If you do win Sunday, will it be a marker that Crystal Palace are now a fully established Premier League club? That, as I say, shouldn't take Palace lightly. You've conceded very few goals considering the season as well.
Well, that's a simple answer. That one, we are an established Premier League club. We've just been in the league for the last 6 years. You know, last year, despite a very poor start, we finished almost in the middle of the table, 11th, I think. This year, we're currently 11th as well. So I don't know you can get that much more established than that. And secondly, I don't think there are many teams in the league from Man City downwards who will actually be thinking, well, Crystal Palace are no good, you know, that's hardly worth our while going to play them there. I think most of them will show us the respect that I think this group of players and this club deserves. So I don't have any real thoughts in that respect. We are an established Premier League club. We are capable of beating every other team in the league. We don't beat the top six that often, but we can do it and have done it. And I think that going forward, you know, we should be making certain that we do everything to ensure that that run continues, because the southeast of London needs a Premier League team like us, and we'll have to do our very best to make certain that the seven seasons becomes 8, 9 and 10. When you've been in the league for 6 years and you're just about to embark on the seventh, I think you can call yourself established.
And when you see what the likes of Watford and Wolverhampton Wanderers have achieved this year, are Crystal Palace near that level?
Yeah, I mean, we beat Wolves at Wolves. We lost very unluckily to them here. Watford lost 2-1 in the early part of the season, a game that we could so easily have won. There's not a vast difference in terms of the teams, but they're having a good season this season. Those things happen, and one can only congratulate them for it. But I think you'll find, if you speak to those two teams, they won't be taken for granted that going into next season they'll once again be 6th, 7th or 8th in the league. They'll be like ourselves, making certain first of all that they're in the league for another season, in particular for Wolves, who've only been up one season.